Owen Colfer was a hard-working Irish school teacher. When he noticed how hard it is to get boys to read, since Owen grew up in a family of five boys and has two of his own, he had a pretty good idea of a kind of book that might help.
Boys are often kind of sold short because people think, well, if it's a boy, they're a bit thick, so we'll give them something with a very easy vocabulary, possibly some pictures and plenty of explosions. And boys, I find it, they did want something fast-paced, but they also wanted something that was kind of sophisticated and made them feel clever reading it.
And that is how Artemis Fowl was born.
By the age of 13, our subject, Artemis Fowl, was showing signs of an intellect greater than that of any human since Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Artemis had beaten European chess champion Ivan Khashoggi in an online tournament, patented over 27 inventions, and won the architectural competition to design Dublin's new opera house. He had also written a computer program that diverted millions of dollars from Swiss bank accounts to his own, forged over a dozen impressionist paintings, and cheated the fairy people out of a substantial amount of gold.
Now, if you're asking who is Artemis Fowl, you can't have set foot in the kids' section of a bookstore lately. Artemis Fowl is the second most famous boy hero in children's books these days, the first being that kid with a scar. Owen Colfer has written five best-selling books about Artemis, the most recent of which is called The Lost Colony. The books are most often described as Die Hard with Fairies. Colfer himself coined that phrase. They've been translated into a gazillion languages, sold to the movies, and Colfer's one-man theater show based on the books recently opened in London's West End. So are you still wondering who is Artemis Fowl?
Artemis Fowl is a 14-year-old criminal mastermind from Ireland who decides to make his fortune by exploiting the fairy people. As every Irish boy knows, if you can catch a leprechaun, that leprechaun must fork over his crock of gold. And this is what Artemis does in the first book. He manages to get his hands on a female leprechaun. But what he doesn't know, in spite of all his genius, is that leprechauns in this millennium are much more advanced than they used to be back in the Middle Ages. In fact, they're much more advanced than us, because that's how they've stayed hidden for so long. And he kidnaps the captain of a fairy SWAT team. And then the rest of her squad turn up at his doorstep and they want their captain back. And that's how the whole thing is set in motion.
Well, there's so many things to talk about. I mean, starting right away, you describe him as a 14-year-old criminal mastermind. I mean, your immediate reaction to that is to want to laugh.
Yeah.
But he is, isn't he?
They were sitting outside a curbside cafe on Dong Khai Street, watching the local teenagers circle the square on mopeds. A waiter scurried to their table. More tea, sirs? Artemis sighed. Spare me the theatrics and sit down. But, sir, I am the waiter. You're wearing handmade loafers, a silk shirt, and three gold signet rings. Your English has a tinge of Oxford about it, and your nails have the soft sheen of the recently manicured. You are not a waiter. You are our contact, Nguyen Xuan, and you have adopted this pathetic disguise to discreetly check for weaponry.
I'm hoping that people will read this and they will think that's ridiculous. He's 14. And then when they start to read, they'll get sucked in and surprised.
Let me fill you in on the weapon status. I am unarmed, but Butler here, my, Butler, has a Sig Sauer in his shoulder holster, two Shoig throwing knives in his boots, a Derringer two-shot up his sleeve, garrote wire in his watch, and three stun grenades concealed in various pockets. Anything else, Butler? A cosh, sir. Oh, yes, a good old ball-bearing cosh stuffed down his shirt.
You could almost call him Harry Potter's evil twin.
He has been called that, yeah, and I've been called the evil J.K. Rowling. So, yeah, everything Harry stands for, goodness and light and nobility, Artemis kind of tries to get around those, and he does things the easy way. But as the books progress, he is becoming a nicer person, because there's no point to him if he just stays, you know, bad. So even at the end of the first book, he's beginning to regret kidnapping someone. And by the time he got to the third book, he was getting so good that I had to take his memory away, because he was just becoming a nice guy. I said, this is not going to So he had a memory wipe. So in book four, he could be back to his glorious bad self.
A shape formed in the air. From nothing came a cluster of sparks and the smell of sulfur. Inside the cluster, a grey-green thing appeared, with golden eyes, chunky scales, and great horned ears. It stepped out of nowhere and onto the road. It stood erect, 5 feet high, humanoid, but there was no mistaking this creature for human. It sniffed the air through slitted nostrils.
Curious, said the Irish boy.
Butler wasn't interested in curious. He was interested in getting Artemis away from this creature as quickly as possible. Let's go, he said brusquely, laying a hand on Artemis's shoulder. But Artemis was already gone.
He's grappling with demons in the newest book?
He's grappling with demons, but I wanted to, if I could, turn demons on their heads. So most people have an idea of what a demon should be. I suppose a bit like Worf in Star Trek, and these kind of crazy, bloodlusty, raw meat-eating creatures. And in this book, the majority of them are, but the one I choose to write about is like the Woody Allen of demons. So he's kind of a little hypochondriac demon who's always worried about, why can't we cook that meat? Just cook it for 5 minutes. What would that hurt? And he's interested in art. And the humans are waiting in the other side of the void, expecting this vicious creature to emerge. And instead comes, you know, this little guy. That light is really bright. Could you turn that light down? I think I got a splinter in my finger. You know, so I thought that would be quite funny and interesting and a nice way to do it.
And of course, these fairies also rely not entirely on magic, but on science and technology. There's an extraordinary amount of technology in the fairy world that's down under.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that. And I like to look at what we have today and then extrapolate 50 years and see what we might have then and then use that in the fairy world. It's a very interesting thing to do. I remember an adult saying to me once, you know, there's an awful lot of computer technology in your books. I think it's possibly too difficult for the kids. Ugh. I had to think to myself, I think it's possibly too difficult for you, but your 10-year-old would have no problem with it.
I was going to say the same thing. I think that that's one that we all ought to know by now.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked about Artemis Fowl, we've talked about technology. We haven't talked about one-man shows, and you have to be, I think, one of the only children's book authors to develop a one-man show. And it's based on this, I gather. Fairies, fiends, and flatulence? And
flatulence, yes. I can't guarantee flatulence on the night, but we'll see. But I'm sure there'll be plenty of young men who would volunteer to come up and do a demonstration.
And you couldn't resist using the word.
I didn't even want to use flatulence. I wanted to be more forthright, but the publisher said we must use flatulence. So I was toned down. I was censored before the show ever started.
We were on holidays with two families, and we were in France. I'm sitting out by the pool reading my Lord of the Rings again. And there's loads of kids around, but I'm not talking to them. I'm on holidays. I'm not even talking to my own kids. And this one kid comes out, and he's about six, and he's wearing big blue goggles. He's got the big six-year-old head and the little skinny body. He has six-year-old teeth, which means half of them, and they're all pointing at right angles to each other. And he's a little tiny bit of hair on the top. So all in all, perfectly normal-looking six-year-old boy. And then he gets in the pool. He splashes around, has a swim. I'm reading. I don't care. He gets out, and he's standing at the side of the pool like this, free, shivering. Oh... And I stare at the child, suddenly, with the wet hair. I say, oh, my God. My wife is sitting beside me. She says, what is this? I said, look at the kid. She said, what about the kid? I said, look at him. Don't you see who he looks like? And I picked up my Lord of the Rings book, and I tapped the cover. He looks exactly like Gollum. But he got his revenge because he had a big swimming rubber tube that used to lie about in the pool, and it had a drinks holder, and it was fantastic, and he would just lie there for hours. And I was very jealous of that. I wanted to have a go. I said to him, hey, kid, can I have a go in the tube? And he said, no, it's too precious. And I thought, right, I'm getting in that tube. And I waited my chance. Until one day, the kid's mother took him shopping. So I put on my swimming togs. I got my Lord of the Rings and I got a can of Pepsi or something and I lay in the tube and this was fantastic. It really was lovely. Sun was shining down, my feet were in the water. I was reading my book. I thought, this is great. I'll just stay here for 5 minutes. Of course, with the sun and everything, I fell asleep. And the kid came back, put on his togs and his goggles, got into the water, swam under the water, came up between my legs and stared at me. So I felt the tube kind of bobbing around a bit. And I opened my eyes and I was like half asleep. And I was dreaming about Lord of the Rings. There was Lord of the Rings. And here's this creature. Ah. And the creature opened his mouth and said, I want the ring.
Owen Colfer, appearing in his recent one-man show, Fairies, Fiends, and Flatulence. Colfer is the author of the best-selling Artemis Fowl books. Number 5, The Lost Colony, is just out.